Hello and welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LP FM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday, February 14th, 2021, and I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
Surf's up!
I don't know which camera to look at anymore. That's a very bad force of habit.
How many cameras you got?
I got two right now. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, I always looked at this one, and then I was like, every show I'm always looking away. Let me put one right in front of my face.
Well, I'm sure the radio audience don't care.
Oh, they love it. They can tell. They can tell. They'll be like, why do I feel warmer all of a sudden? It's great.
Our guests today are Doubtfire, Boudreaux, Dread Pirate Higgs, and George Wuhan and Buffalo. Welcome all. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show break. Also, did you know that there was a streaming atheist call-in video show? Used to be a TV show, broadcasting here in Knoxville. Did you know that, Wombat?
Exactly. 10 years. Exactly. The thing is, the World Series of Tag is only a brand new, latest, coolest thing. World Series of Tag, you were talking about it. So it's 10 groups of parkour artists running around like this gymnasium, and they have to play tag with each other.
Sounds very interesting.
Cool. I highly recommend you watch it.
Yeah, but
WCT. Tell them more about it, Larry.
No, it's not an atheist call-in TV show or video show. We'll tell you more about the video show after the mid-show break. And if you'd like to interact with us during this show, go to Facebook and search for a Digital Free Thought Radio Hour page and use the messaging function to send us questions or comments. What do you have for us today there as far as the topic goes, Wombat?
The universe is trying to kill us. And I want to bring that up only because I think it's an interesting thing to remind ourselves as we go on this journey together as weird things growing on a planet that's just hurtling through space. I think it's good to remember ourselves where we are in the grand scheme of things. But before we do that, I'd like to throw it up to our good friend, Dread Pirate Higgs, for our weekly invocation.
Our noodly Lord, who art in a colander, El Dante be thy noodles. Thy blood be rum, thy sauce be yum, with meat as it is with vegetables. Give us this day our garlic bread, and forgive us our cussing, as we put up with those who cuss against us. And lead us not into ketoism, but deliver us some carbs, for thine are the noodles, and the sauces, and the grog, whenever and ever. Rum.
Amen. And I'd like to remind the audience that this is not the first religion that eats their savior.
That's right. We're more filling, of course.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, I'd like to do my favorite part of the show, just a very quick, very fast, very, very immediate life retelling of everyone's last week. Larry, how you been since last week?
Oh, fine. I'm doing well. Actually, I got my first COVID-19 vaccine this week.
Nice. Since what's the story behind that?
The Moderna.
Because you don't look anywhere close to 70. What's wrong with you? What's
going on?
Were you cutting in line?
Is autism setting in?
No. Yeah. No autism, and I am 70. It'll be 4 weeks, though, before I get my next one, since it's Moderna.
Okay. Okay, cool.
All good.
Yeah, I'm in the same. I got the same Moderna shot, so I'm getting mine in March, and then hopefully I can go back to swimming again. But looking forward to that.
Very cool.
I'm happy for you, Larry.
Thanks.
For you, Larry. Did it hurt? What was it? Did they give you like a little glass to drink? Was that your shot? Because that's how everyone gets their shots.
No. But
you got the wrong one then.
The lady did comment that I had a polio vaccine a long time ago. I bet George has them too.
Okay.
George has what?
A polio vaccine, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
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 Last year, your whole life.
Boudreaux, tell me something positive. What was going on with you in the last week?
Well, I've got my Coke Zero Cherry. I'm so happy about. And the other thing we found again were hash brown patties, like the little patty, like a frozen hash brown patty. They've been missing since March. I'm sure it was supply chain related, but they're finally back in the freezers. So
Good. Just that and toilet
little
paper,
things.
Right?
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, the ice storm's been scary. A lot of houses without power. But they got to them pretty swiftly. So it's crazy times. And we got more coming tomorrow. So
I would say this though. We're probably in one of the best times to have stuff like that happen to us. Could you imagine if we're all caving and that was happening? We'd be like, man, no internet and my leg is frozen. There's just no, there's nothing I can do about this time zone. George, number one, how you doing? How you been?
Well, I'm doing good. I just realized that although Larry talks about, are we the only atheist group in Knoxville? I just realized that Larry is the only person in this meeting right this moment who indeed is in Knoxville. Everybody else on this call is somewhere else. So I think I'm the closest one to Knoxville. I'm halfway between Knoxville and Chattanooga. I'm 60 miles away from Knoxville.
Scott, how you doing, my friend? How's last week been treating you?
Life's been pretty good. Can't complain at all. Been preparing for a debate that I'm having tonight on the Empathetic Atheist YouTube channel. So I've been preparing for that, debating free will.
He's looking, he's putting a poker face on, but man, if we were playing, I would have seen it. I saw that expression, man. You tipped your hat.
For or against. Yeah.
I'm all in.
What side of the issue are you on, or which side are you debating?
I'm against the free will. And so my opponent will be arguing for free will.
Gotcha.
Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. Just as long as
is your opponent fine, religious?
Yeah, he's a Christian theist.
Okay.
Yeah.
How far did you choose to have this debate with him?
We went into it together, and it was so freely chosen that, you know, I was determined by reasons.
Sure. Yeah. I saved the best for last. Dread Pirate, you've been shaking hands with movie stars. You've been in Supreme Court. Yeah. Who knows what you've been doing? Shoring the swabs. I want to do pirate terms. I don't know many of them, but
Dread, the swabbies.
Walk me through it. Let's start with the legal precedent that you started.
Well, so last Tuesday I was in before the Supreme Court on a judicial review of a decision that was made by the Human Rights Tribunal not to hear my case of discrimination against the ICBC, the Insurance Corporation of British Columbia, for what I said was discrimination based on religion, because they wouldn't allow me to wear my tricorner, which is my regalia as a Pastafarian. And so I think I did a great job, but that's from my personal point of view, of course.
I think so.
It was all on a conference call, so it wasn't in person. I had my argument prepared. I had several points to make, and I was kind of surprised that the defense or the respondent, the whole argument from their side hinged on trying to convince the judge that we are strictly satirizing religion, and that on that basis, we are not afforded the rights and protections under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms in Canada. So I blew that out of the water, I think. So now we're just waiting for the judge's written decision. So we'll see. I mean, he's taken, you know, it's now Sunday, and we were at court on Tuesday. So clearly he's taking his time and deliberating this before he renders a decision.
That's good. Yeah.
And I think, you know, because he's going to have to be careful, because if he comes up, like if he finds against us, against Pastafarians, he runs the risk of coming up on an interpretation of law, which an appeal court may disagree with. So I hope he does a really good job of whatever he's doing, regardless of which side he falls on. But again, I think I did the very best I was able to do. I had some pretty strong arguments. And also, since there was only one argument they were hinging everything on.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I also think it's cool that you've have your PDF argument available.
Yeah.
Right? Is there anywhere that people could actually get access to that? Say they're a pastor in America. And they
well, I did. Yeah. Where would be a good idea to post that? You know, I can post it anywhere. I've got it all in PDF. So I know I uploaded it to the channel here, to the Free Thought Radio channel. But, you know, I suppose I could put it, I don't know.
So this is why we need young kids on the show, because you got to put that
that's right.
Facebook, Instagram,
the technocrats. Yeah.
Please
remind me of what their main argument is. I know
that, that pastafarians are simply satirists, that we're just making fun and mocking and criticizing religions.
No, their main argument. What is their main argument against your symbolism?
That's their main argument. That's their main argument, is that because we mock. It was interesting because they introduced an interesting syllogism. It was essentially Gary identifies himself as a pastafarian. Pastafarians and members of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster mock and criticize other religions and certain religious practices. Pastafarians wear colanders as religious headgear. And the unstated end of that was Gary is a pastafarian who mocks and criticizes religion and wears a colander. So I rewrote that syllogism. I said, in stark relation to this, we could put this another way. Gary Smith is a Muslim and a adherent to the Islamic faith. Gary engages in, or Muslims engage in suicide bombings and flying planes into buildings. Muslims wear cloth hats as religious headgear. The unstated conclusion being Gary is a Muslim who engages in suicide bombings and flying planes into buildings and wears a cloth hat as religious headgear. So I just wanted to make it so starkly, such a stark comparison. And I pointed out the three logical flaws in that. There was the argumentum ad hominem, the straw man, and the division fallacy. Division fallacy being the one where, you know, a round brick building is necessarily made of round bricks. It's a fallacy, right? So anyway, I mean these are the kinds of things I laid out and said, you can say anything you want about me, but you can't prove it. You can't say that I can't tie my own notions of what the universe is all about to anything I want. Prove me wrong, because you can't, Gary, right?
Gary, one of the things
I went on longer than I should have.
It's okay. It's okay. One of the things I go to as one of those syllogisms is like, not all people who wear red hats are Republicans, right? Like some do. But not every single person that wears a red hat is a Republican. I throw that out when someone says, hey, all atheists say God doesn't exist. And it's like, no, there are some atheists who say that, but that's not what makes them an atheist. And just in the same way that wearing a red hat doesn't make you a Republican, some Republicans wear red hats, but that's not the qualifier. It works. You gotta do what you can. Hey, Larry, what's up?
Well, I was just going to say the main point I would try to make during that session is that it's not the government's job to define which religions are real and which ones aren't. I mean, that's unconstitutional.
That was the point I made as well.
In America.
In America, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the Constitution.
Or any country, really. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So. That was my week.
Nice. Nice. So, guys, that was a crazy week. So we had, let me just make sure I go through this again. We had crazy vaccinations because we're living in a pandemic. We've had George, man, I can't even remember the thing that you had.
I said I took public transportation, rural.
Yeah, he's
public
on the roads. There's,
yeah.
No one's taking where he needs to go. There's windshields that need windshielding. It's crazy. We had George, number two, who had ice storms flying all over the place. We had Dredd, who has a government trying to like hassle him, can't even put a hat on his head. It's crazy. We had Boudreaux. He's drinking cherry Coke, guys. Like, the world is literally ending. It's crazy. It's literally insane. And then Scott dropping the beats. I don't know. Like, it's madness. Guys, the universe is trying to kill us. That's the conclusion that I'm coming to. It's the only way that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I bring that up.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, The reason why I bring that up is because I've heard on multiple occasions people say we live in a finely tuned universe, that we should believe in manifest destiny, that this world was created for us. Yet, I can walk outside for, you know, 10 minutes and nearly freeze to death. Already. Right now, it's really, really bad in Tennessee. We haven't seen the sun in like the last 7 days. It's pretty nuts. So what I would like for us to remember, what we'll definitely dive into is particularly in the second half of the show, is why not necessarily why we take for granted that that we actually live in a harsh universe, and we're lucky to have the things that we have, and we're lucky to be here in this warm room with electricity. But let's think about the dangers that are outside that we tend to forget about. Now that we are living in a bit better environment politically, a bit better environment intellectually, science-wise, we can dive into the harsh realities and have some fun there. Larry, looked like you had something on your mind. How is the universe killing you particularly?
Well, you know, it's technology. It's our own brains that's really saving us from the environment. I mean, you could go to 70 or 80% of this planet and you wouldn't be able to survive because you'd be living in water. You know, it's 75% of the planet.
Salt water. And
above certain latitudes, you couldn't survive, or below certain latitudes at the poles. And 10 miles up, straight up, in any point on Earth, you would no longer be able to survive. And anywhere from that point on, you know, the 99.9999999% of the universe, you'd be dead within minutes. It's just a very small, thin layer of air on this rock that we live on that allows us to survive here. And we have adapted to that environment. It's the only reason we can live in it.
We haven't adapted. We evolved.
Changing it as we well.
Evolved. Evolution adapted us to the environment.
I like it. But we're also rapidly changing that environment as well. George, Buffalo, you had wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
I'm setting the tee up. There you go.
So my passion now is climate change. Actually, for the last 10 years, I've taught a course on it at the university. And so I'm very much into it. At the break, I'll get a reference for you that's, I think, very tuned to your actual question about our Earth and how it's changing all the time. And what I say to my students is, yeah, it's changing, and it always has changed. And that's the argument that's used by the climate change denialist. But the problem is that the rate of change that's occurring now does not suit our continuing to exist.
As a species on this planet. Other cockroaches, not a problem. not so much. So when we say the world is ending, we don't mean everybody. It just means us. So let's make sure we make that point.
Years ago, when I was in the service and I was stationed in Japan, I went to Hiroshima and I visited the museum at the epicenter in Hiroshima. And the thing that sticks in my mind the most was a painting that was there. And it showed the leg of a woman that sort of projects into the middle of this picture. The lower half of it from the knee down is bone, and the upper half still has flesh on it. It's obviously after the bomb, right? And the only living thing in that picture was a cockroach sitting on the kneecap.
And if you think that humans are like the predominant life on Earth, there's a statistic I came across a little while ago. It says that termites are more prolific than 11 times more populous on Earth by weight.
What?
Than humans are.
Oh, okay. By weight, huh? That's 11 times
that's by weight.
That's a fun.
You can imagine the numbers.
Feels true, but cool enough to say at a dinner party. That's a good dinner party trivia. Yeah. I'm going to have to. It's one of those things.
Don't forget the bacteria in our body are many times in weight greater than the rest of our body. So
true. But they don't have a leg to stand on. Guys, I'm here all day. Larry, we're at the bottom of the half hour. Whoa, that cup just disappeared.
Already?
Why don't we take a quick break and we come back and we talk more about how the universe is trying to kill us all.
Sounds good. This is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LP FM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we'll be right back after this short break.
hell, I wanna go to hell. It seems a really fun place to play, but I gotta do what's right and do it every day if I wanna go to hell someday. Oh, hell, I wanna go to hell, so I gotta do what mom and dad say. I gotta love my neighbor even if they are gay, so I can go to hell someday. Ellen's really nice, but she enjoys other ladies. Jackman doesn't mind, and so he's going to Hades. Woody Allen, obviously, cause he's a Jew. Also Princess Di, Mother Teresa, too. Washington and Jefferson, and don't forget Lincoln. I can tell you now that their souls are a-sinking. Johnny Depp, because he wears too much eyeliner. Andrew's Witherspoon, an overweight Rob Reiner. Hell, hell, I wanna go to hell. It seems a really fun place to play, but I gotta do what's right and do it every day if I wanna go to hell someday.
Welcome to the second half of the Digital Freethought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville. I'm Dotter Five, or Larry Rhodes. Today is Sunday, February 14th, 2021. Now let's talk about the atheist freethought groups that you can join here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK, founded in 2002. We're in our 19th year now. ASK has over 1,000 members, and we have weekly Zoom meetings during the COVID outbreak. You can also find us on Facebook at Knoxville Atheists, Atheist Society of Knoxville, or just go to Google and Google Knoxville Atheists. You can find it in Meetup or just our website, which is knoxvilleatheist.org. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you can still go to Meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one. Start one. That's right. Earlier in the show, we said we talked about Knoxville's Atheist video show. Well, you can find their archives on YouTube. You can search for Knoxville Freethought, and it will bring up the archives of the old TV show. However, if you want to look at the new things that we've been doing, look for Freethinkers United Coalition of Knoxville. And remember, you can find YouTube. You can become part of our YouTube show or this radio show by contacting any of us at the group or at RET, Rationalists of East Tennessee. On the show with us today, we have Dread Pirate Higgs, George II, or
Buffalo,
that's it, and Boudreau, as long as your regular cool host, Wombat. Well, Wombat, where do you want to pick up?
All right, now I'm back, guys. Now I'm back. What was the question, guys?
Where you want to pick up?
No, you see, I was disconnected because I accidentally turned on my fan, and it's a terrible fan. Oh. What a terrible, 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 terrible fan.
What a mighty terrible fan.
We are polarized on that one. Guys, let me see if I can share my screen real quick. We're going to go over last week's commentary from, or actually a bunch of comments from not only last week's show, but a bunch of other shows in the past. I've realized that we get a lot of comments. Thank you guys so much for all the comments, by the way. But they're also on several weeks ago episodes too, or even like 4 or 5 episodes back. So I want to highlight just people who are reaching out. Thank you very much for that. Hey, Buffalo, we got a response from Dada's Trading Room on a pun that we did using the Polish word for ventilator, which meant fan in Polish. He says, hey, I don't speak Hungarian, but in Polish, it's for fan, it's, you want to help me out with that one? Wiatrak. And has no English or Latin commonalities. Also, fan as an admirer in Polish will not ring any bells. We use the English fan in colloquial Polish, only with a different Polish A sound. That's very nice. Thank you, Dadas. In the episode, How to Get Vaccinated, we got a question. That was last week's episode, by the way. We got the question from Houston Ensemble. Is Larry a hologram? The movement of the hair is something else. Haha. We love this channel. Amazing work, guys. This is our new favorite channel to watch. Ty, we would love to have you on a podcast if you'd like to join us. Of course, I would too. Feel free to reach out. We can set up a time for that. Larry, would you mind answering the question? Are you actually a hologram?
I am not a hologram. Hologram, hologram, hologram. And I use green screen so my hair does its own thing.
Nice. We also got a comment from Ryan Haney on our episode about free speech. He says, speech should be completely free. You should be able to say anything, no matter how rude, ignorant, or hateful. Interesting. Now, once you say something hateful or ignorant, people should also have the freedom to judge you based off your speech. Sunshine is the best disinfectant, just my opinion. Personally, I want people to feel free to say what they feel so I can know if they are someone I want to be around. Well, you know, when you live in a world where you have something to lose, that's not as good of an idea.
may I respond to that?
Absolutely. Go for it.
Okay. We have a saying here that you're not allowed to cry fire in a crowded theater. And I think that people should be held accountable for the consequences of their speech.
Just as Trump is being impeached, right?
Right.
Hopefully.
Yes.
But not anymore. Going through the process. And I appreciate that process because Trump isn't the issue. And what I find is the case is it's not so much the person that's being explicitly rude, ignorant, or hateful that's the problem. It's the people who are sitting back and not stopping that person.
Not giving him the feedback that he needs.
Not giving him feedback. Complicity is what supports these kinds of these things. And so like the best way to stop rudeness, ignorance, or hateful comments is to fight and be anti those positions. And the way you're anti those positions is by trying to rule them out and stop them. And that takes effort. So we have these rules in place to be able to protect ourselves. And I think there's at least ground rules to say, hey, we as a society have determined that these things are not acceptable. This actually mutually benefits everybody. And it's not free speech we're putting on a platform. It's social welfare. And it's the fact that we can mutually benefit from the fact that we put safeguards in place in terms of communication. That's good for everybody. Guys, universe is trying to kill us. We got YouTube comments. It's crazy. Dredd, you just talked about something kind of crazy going on about the government, you know, stepping on your hat. But you were also shaking hands with some movie stars doing security work, right? Is that actually true?
Yeah, that's true.
What's the security? Why do you need security if you're a movie star? Everyone knows if you're rich and famous, nothing bad happens to you.
Well, yeah. I mean, people are killing other people with love. I think that's what it comes down to, right? You know, everyone just wants to get close and touch something they see on the screen and do that in real person. So
sure. I'm glad you're on the roll, though. But I guess what's your interesting take on the universe is trying to kill you? Can you think of like anything that we might be taking for granted?
Well, I think it's all taking everything for granted, essentially. I mean, I kind of understood that the universe is a very hostile place when I was a young boy reading Isaac Asimov books, you know. Just understanding that, you know, the universe didn't have us in mind when it came to be, and that the idea that the universe is fine-tuned, well, it couldn't be any other way, right? I mean, when it comes right down to it, the universe as it exists couldn't be any other way. So this idea of fine-tuning is it's asking the wrong question.
Well, I think you have to put a caveat at the end of that. It couldn't be any other way and still produce us. If it didn't produce us, we wouldn't be here questioning it. We wouldn't be here making that, you know, making the observations.
Yeah, if it's set for one or eight.
Theoretically, according to physics, it can be a lot of other ways that we'd just be unpopulated.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying is that the universe as it is in this current condition, couldn't be any other way.
And we have 100%
have us to ask the question.
100% proof that it does exist. I mean, that universes exist this way.
Yes, that's right. We only have one example.
Mm-hmm. And Dredd Pirate, what I was alluding to earlier was that there's a lot of service workers, firemen, police officers, security guards that go about very dangerous work, even vaccine people in drive-thrus right now, standing in the cold, putting shots in people's arms because there's an awareness that there are dangers in the world, and they put themselves on the line to address those for us every day.
Not to mention and the virus itself, the danger of being exposed.
Yeah. So to our military, to all of our service workers, we thank you and we appreciate your sacrifice. And it's not something we take for granted. Mm-hmm. Scott, drop some beats. you got some toys for us? You want to drop some beats real quick? You got to unmute yourself first, buddy. These are the most silent beats ever, Scott. Scott, yeah. While you are in the process of unmuting yourself, would you mind thinking about a way how the universe is trying to kill us, and we'll get right back to you? Boudreaux, why don't you tell me how the universe... Oh, wait, no, we already got you, right? No, we didn't get you.
I got Boudreaux. Notes. I'm ready.
Let's go. Uh-huh. Let's go.
I'm gonna steal this and butcher it. It's kind of what Dread Pirate was saying, but you know, if you have a pothole and you fill it with water, and then you talk to that puddle that exists, and the puddle's thinking, I'm so perfectly fit for this universe I live in. I match the pothole perfectly. It's like
the pothole was beautiful. Made for you. Yeah.
Right. It's like, yeah, the pothole was made for, no, you just, you adapted, evolved and filled it. So I think the one thing cause I've thought about this a lot, when, you know, when people give us this idea that, yeah, the world was made perfect for us. We have our light source. When you stand outside, when it's around, Ty, I know it's taking a little break right now, but when it's out there, it's sun and it's our source of light. We can't even look at it without ruining our eyes. It burns our skin. It's gives not like us it's cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's there every day.
It's there every day. It's like, if you were going to fine tune a universe, why not just the one thing right off the bat, you know, aside from maybe just not having COVIDs and things like that. The other thing would be, you know, maybe just make the light source a little less deadly.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
I would argue in the reverse, actually. I would argue that we evolved to keep our eyes near the ground where the real danger was.
I would say this, whenever I get the fine-tuning argument, I am compelled to throw out that sun argument, Boudreaux, every single time. I am compelled to do that. Though I always worry about like the mechanics that will go on in the theist mind as I throw that out and make a really good, strong, patented scientific argument. So instead I just say, why do we have nipples? Like, why do men have nipples? And that works every single time. They're just like, that's a silly argument. If you're not interested in SE, that's a great thing to pull out. So why do I got nipples then? If everything about me was designed perfectly, what's that all about?
That's a book, actually. I have that book. Why do men have
nipples? Oh, you have it? Yeah. Nice.
God was drunk that day.
Oh, there it is. That's it. He made Budweiser. George, why don't you tell me something about the universe and how it's going to kill us all?
I have nothing. I have nothing to say. I mean, the universe is not trying to kill me. I'm okay.
I'll tell you.
I'm okay with everything.
You feel tired. You wake up. You feel tired. You need a little thing in your cup. Well, why do you need stuff in your cup? Why don't you talk to me about some of that? Oh, yeah.
Well, I was going to do that later. But
I want you to do it now because we just prompted you. Come on.
Oh, you did?
Come on.
Oh, is it show and tell? Okay. This is the best coffee I've ever had.
Radio people can't see your image. So you might describe
it.
Why are you holding up?
I am holding up a bag of Pete's coffee. And I want to confess that as I'm listening to myself talk, the longer I live in Tennessee, the stronger my New York accent becomes. It's an act of defiance. It's my totally version of not wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm. The first time George was on the show, he was like, howdy, y'all. I want to talk to you. Now he's just like, hey, forget that. Let me talk about this water over here. All right.
But this was a very small company in Berkeley, California that I remember when it had only three stores. Alfred Pete was a real person, and he was forced to work in a German war factory in during World War II, not in Nazi Germany, but in Holland. And ironically, with five changes of ownership, the company that owns Pete's Coffee right now has been accused of benefiting from Nazi business practices. So, but it's still fantastic coffee. And and if you don't have the money for Pete's, which is like about $9 for a 12-ounce bag these days here, this is great stuff. This is called Pilon, and it is a Cuban-style coffee by way of Miami, Florida, now owned.
You got Nazis and Cuban coffee? Yeah. What's going on here?
Well, this stuff is great.
Communist
coffee. Jeez, that's really why you affordable. Want to stay disconnected, guys.
This is the people who left communists, the Miami Cubans.
So let me tie this back to the main topic then. So we're talking about why the universe is trying to kill us. I think Nazis and maybe even let's throw it out, communism, authoritarianism, all these things that just make life way, way less appealing or less pleasant, I should say. Mm. These are factors that are uncontrollable variables in our universe that we as a society do our best to try to mitigate and control. And that's something that we should be aware of. We shouldn't take for granted that we at least live in a semblance of a democracy, that we can at least vote based on regardless of the color of our skin or what's in our pants. And that's meaningful. And we should do our best to try to protect the rights that we got. Scott, are you available to talk or why don't you unmute yourself and join in the conversation? You're muted, sir.
Oh, nice. I'm sorry. I didn't even know I was muted.
Yeah, okay. That's why I said it four times. Scott, why is the universe trying to kill us, friend?
Yeah, so this kind of opens up like some philosophical things too, because what do we mean by trying?
Like, oh, dang it, you got me. All right. Yeah, you got me there.
Does it have agency?
The first thing that kind of makes me think is like, what do we mean by trying?
He got me.
Does it involve volition, choice, free will, stuff like that? Are we saying that the universe is intentionally trying to kill anything?
It was a catchy name. It was just a catchy title.
Yeah, I know.
Boudreaux, it's okay. No, it's okay. Semantics will kill you, too. Grammar Nazis are. Well,
and then again, we can say, well, Nazis are part of the universe, and they're trying to kill people. But
sure.
Then we get back to the question of free will. Do people have free will? Do we really have volition? Is that really something or is that just an illusion? So in a way, we can say at least part of the universe is trying to kill us, but then people who are fighting against climate change, they're part of the universe too. So part of the universe is not trying to kill us.
So you're saying ambiguity is going to kill us?
Yeah. So I guess the universe is sort of a mixed bag of things trying to kill us, things not trying to kill us, depending on how we interpret free will.
Sure.
Because maybe the universe is just doing what it does.
It's indifferent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If someone
Why did God create atheists?
Sure.
Exactly.
There you go. Exactly. If someone threw me in a pit of vipers and told me, hey, it's not the vipers that are going to kill you, it's snake venom that's actually toxic. It's like, no, it's a delivery system. Yeah. The universe seems to be a delivery system to try to kill me.
the only venom is not killing me where it is.
Yeah. I do want to make a note on evolution. We brought it up a couple of times. I got a PhD in biochemistry. I love evolution. Here's this funny story that's actually true. I lost the hearing for a short period of time in my left ear. It was actually just a buildup of wax. It wasn't a big deal, but I was kind of freaked out because we have loss of hearing common in my family. I went to, I forgot what the deer ear doctor are called, but
otolaryngologist.
Are you for real?
Yeah. I lost my hearing in my right ear.
Yeah. It's a very long word.
Otolaryngologist.
Otolaryngologist, because they do ears, throat.
Ears, nose, and throat.
Exactly. Thank you.
You're welcome. Gary.
So I go there. They do this scope on my ear canal and they find just a bunch of wax and they're like, no, actually your hearing is good. You're just built up a lot here and we're just going to take it out. And they did this weird surgery where they had this needle go way into my ear and they pulled out a big chunk of wax and Larry's shaking his head. It felt like they're in my brain. But after it was done, I was like, can you do the other ear? Cause I feel fantastic on this side. Like, there was just so much pressure gone. I wasn't even realizing. And I heard an HD for like the next 4 days. It was amazing. But what was cool was the doctor asked me, did you ever live in an environment with like cold lakes, or did you ever go swimming? I lived in California for a long period of time. It was like, yeah, I lived almost right next to the beach. We would always go swimming, and there was a lake as well that we would do swimming in as well. And they said, yeah, because in your ear are tiny little bone protrusions, and those only develop for people who swim a lot in cold water, because it's like an evolutionary compensation. It's trying to adapt to cold water coming in your ear. Your body doesn't like that. So it's made these tiny little grills essentially to try to keep the water out. And I'm like, that makes no sense. It's called Surfer's Ear. It's not something I'm making up. But the funny thing is, I was like, that doesn't even sound like it works. It's like, of course it doesn't work. That it actually leads to like hear loss. Your body's just adapting. Evolution is not a system that gets you more efficient. It's just a system that makes you try some random stuff.
Yeah.
It just, you're trying it. And if it doesn't work, you die.
Environment.
Mm-hmm. It's just a random response to the environment. And if it works for you, good. And you can pass that along. And if it doesn't work for you, too bad. You just screwed yourself. You can't hear in your ear anymore. That's just what it is. And it made me rethink entirely what evolution really is in this system. It's not a steady path forward towards a better body. It's literally just human beings trying to do whatever can work and seeing what sticks. And if that's the case, man, is this universe at least a mechanism to try to kill us. Because the main thing we've been banking on since the beginning of time is evolution. But it just turns out we're just the lucky, you know, plinkos.
We're the ones that natural selection selected to fit into the environment.
I'm thinking about the question, is the universe not trying to kill us? How about that?
Yeah, like what's there? Gary, you're raising your hand.
Let's yeah, I was just going to say, I'm actually right in the middle of Richard Dawkins' The Selfish Gene. If you want a good read on evolution and biology and all that good stuff, that's a really excellent book. I think it's now the 13th version. Or a 13th edition or something like that. But excellent read.
Yeah. So it's not like it's when you work out. Like you work out, you get more muscle mass and you look more fit. Like it's evolution's not that. And we had for a while considered that that was the case. Like, oh, it's a giraffe stretching his neck up to try to get the trees generation after generation. Their necks
Lamarckian evolution, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's not, just turns out to be the case one day. Hey, this thing that kind of looks like a horse has a slightly longer neck, and that's a little bit more attractive. maybe he's a little more lucky, and next thing you know, he can reach the food. Oh, that's even more attractive. What a coincidence! And evolution just keeps doing that. And all the animals that get shorter and shorter necks, they just die off.
Spaghetti on the wall. That just kind of made me think of something you just said. It seems like with evolution, though, you can say that trying to survive, but then trying to help people and do good and all of these, you know, bring meaning, all of this stuff is kind of emergent properties that come from evolution. So in a way, the universe, if we're defining universe as everything that exists or is going to exist or whatever the case may be, you could say that the universe kind of does have at least some property to it that wants you to live and wants you to prosper and wants you to have all these wonderful divine qualities, because we humans are here and now we're fighting against climate change. We're trying to, you know, live longer, have world peace, flourish, well-being, all that kind of stuff. And we're part of the universe.
Sure.
So in Scott, a way,
the flip it, side to that. Same,
oh, go ahead. Sure.
The flip side to that is if I were to see like the branching points, right? There are for every human being that's happy or every population on Earth that's happy, if we were to take this into like a hypothetical multiverse, there's an inordinate amount of potential realities where humans would just be the least thing that's capable of surviving on any planet. And so like when I see like, hey, yeah, like it looks like the case of this universe is fostering our existence. It's like, but no, like if the degrees on the ocean were just 3 degrees higher, we'd be dead. If oxygen had a little bit more sulfur content in it, we'd be dead. If we started, you know, this life 150 million years before we showed up, we'd be dead. We'd be dinosaur food. Like so many examples, so many gradients where it's just like, actually, we're lucky to be here. Yeah, we made it, but how do I put this? If there's a family across the street and they're called the Marshalls and they have one kid that's like, I'm going to kill you. And I got like, I'm drawing pictures of me killing you. I'm like that whole family, even if the dad is really nice and brings me cookies, I'm just like, no, you got a crazy kid. The Marshalls are trying to kill me. I don't want to be a part of that. But I guess in a less sarcastic context, it just seems like We're here because we are choosing to survive. We are here because we are making the efforts to have a good existence. And yes, we are part of the universe, but that means we're only a small part of the universe that's trying not to kill itself. Or
right. In spite of the conditions that are hostile to our existence.
Right. And there's so many of them. Which is kind of cool because it means we're winning. I'm willing to take that too.
The hard question though about that, the weird thing about that though, is if were we determined to be here, or are we just here because of luck?
Scott, you are in debate mode with this free will thing. I'm wishing you the best of luck, buddy. We got to define free will if you want to talk about free will. Boudreaux, what do you got?
Yeah, I guess I wanted to kind of flip the whole topic around a little bit to kind of make it a little easier for some people to chew on here, because I think there's a bit of confusion on the catchy title. But really, if you could change anything about the universe to make it more fitting for humans, like, what would you change? And, you know, the sun is a good example, temperature. I mean, a lot of things, but I mean, we have all these parameters in the universe. We can only breathe in a very, very small part of the universe, you know? So like, what would you change? Like, that's, I think, what we mean by the universe trying to kill us. We can't live in very many places, even on Earth. So what would you change?
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I don't know.
I'd love to have more cones in my eyes and a better immune system that can better adapt to, you know, to foster herd immunity. I think it's kind of crazy that you can just pick up viruses that completely change your DNA from just breathing outside. You're telling me you can cough at me and I can die from that? Yeah. That's literally crazy. Can I fix that, please? No. Vaccines, what do you got for me? Maybe that's a good roundtable discussion. Larry, what would you change about us to make us a bit more resilient? Like, how would you?
Well, I mean, let's take up the other side of the coin, you know, people are saying that the universe was built for us, you know, because, you know, look at it. We live here. But we can only live in that 0.00001% of them. But what if God was all powerful and he really wanted us to just survive and take over and do whatever? He could made us out of titanium and made us able to live in a vacuum. He's all powerful. Everything is available to him. All options are on the table. He doesn't have to make us live in a certain niche of it. You know, why would he? Yeah, if with a huge universe out there at our disposal.
Buffalo, I'd actually be interested in your idea of what would you do to improve the physical dynamic of humanity.
I don't think that nature cares about us, really. We're part of natural selection, and the universe is not trying to kill us. We're adapting to the universe. We're just a product of evolution. We're a product of nature, and you know, it has no driving force. If we're unfit in a particular niche, we're going to be removed from that niche sooner than we otherwise might be. So
what would you do to actually improve our odds?
I wouldn't do anything, because I would be afraid that what I was doing would have negative consequences that would reach way beyond what I'm trying to do.
So you wouldn't even want to have like a better back vertebrae system?
If I had a bad back, I would hope for a good back, but no, I would not want to be stronger. If I had more cones, I might be blinded and killed by accidentally looking at the sun. So I'm not sure that we are smart enough really to anticipate what we might do that would be of benefit to almost ourselves, but certainly to everybody else, because there's none of us there.
Okay, I'm noticing you're wearing glasses while you're talking to me about this. Right. Wouldn't you want to have better, would you not opt to have a body that doesn't have degenerative eye loss as you get older? Wouldn't that be beneficial?
As a person because wearing glasses
right now?
I think when my time comes.
Would seem more reasonable if they just agreed with me?
No, because I think when my time comes to return to the cosmos as mineral elements, then my time has come. I don't, and you know, aging has its benefits as well as its negatives, and I just take it all in flow. So I don't think you know, would I like to not be able, not have to wear glasses? I guess yes, but it's not a big deal.
Fair enough. Dread Pirate Higgs, what would you do to improve humanity?
I would think that a better conscious way, like a pain management system, mm-hmm. so that, you know, you get a toothache and, and it just will not relent until you either get it pulled or you get it fixed. It would be nice if there was, you know, it just told you, okay, the pain is there. You know it now. It's time to go to the doctor. You write it down, and then your pain goes away.
I love that.
I think pain management, we wouldn't have this opioid crisis, right?
Mm,
it would be none of that because we'd just be able to figure it out in our own heads. So that's what I
love that answer. That's a great answer. That's so cool. I'll throw out another one before we go to George. I'd love to be able to turn on and off facial hair growth. Just be like, hey, I like this beard. That's all I need right now. It's not going to change my life either way. Just turn it off, and I'm ready to turn it back on. I would. Maybe I tug my ear, and it just grows at its natural rate. And I
hey, some of us would agree. We'd like for that.
Yeah, you get a set amount of hair, and you tug it to make it grow, and you tug it to make it stop, and that's all you got hair you got. But that's how you control it.
Yeah,
George, I'm going to throw this question at you. Do you have an idea of what you would do if you could improve bodies, humanity? Any?
Oh yes, I do. I would eliminate the gene that causes some people to be sycophants to bullies.
I love that. Yeah.
You know, I'm not worried about the bullies. I'm worried about the people who enable the bullies.
The complicits. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because that's what empowers the bullies in the night. At the bottom.
Otherwise, the bully would just be another drunk yelling at the mirror in the bar, you know.
I guess by my comment, I would argue that the bullies are part of natural selection. Mm-hmm. Seriously, I think so. And we might not be able to see the positive side of that, but I think bullies are at one end of the Gaussian curve, and everything operates on the Gaussian curve.
What's a Gaussian curve?
It's the bell-shaped curve. That really represents everything, certainly
statistics
in the living world. Oh.
Normally distributed.
Dread Pirate Higgs, where can we find your stuff at?
Well, I'm on YouTube under Mind Pirate, MindPyrate. And pretty soon we're going to make public again our Pastafarian Facebook page.
Nice.
Which is, of course, when I was thinking about where I could post the court documents I've put together. That is one place I've put them. We took it down just because we didn't want the Human Rights Tribunal trying to pick away at our Facebook page and use that as a means to argue against us. So I made it private, but it'll be the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster of British Columbia.
Nice. Scott, where can we find your stuff at?
Dubshine.bandcamp.com. I'm putting up new music all the time and working on an album. And there's going to be a release, I think, next week with an old classic hip-hop group called the Jungle Brothers. So me and a partner in Canada are doing a remix for them. And it's getting released next week, so I'm excited about that. But I'll put it all up on my Bandcamp page.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool. Boudreaux. Throwing out at you, hey, you just finished that song we played in the last week's show. A couple hundred views, not bad. At least I love it. What inspired you to make that song? What else do you have coming down the pipe?
Well, it was kind of had a dark history. The guy I wrote, who actually wrote the song, he just had me help write bass and drums. His wife is terminally ill. And he wrote it kind of worked through some of the thoughts he was having. So it's got kind of a darker tone to it in the video, but it was fun to do. And I think she really appreciated it. And I might even get to see them on our way to Hilton Head. We're going to Airbnb in a week, and we're going to pass through their town. So I'm hoping my daughter Vivian will make a nice painting for her.
Nice.
And I'll add Vivian, my daughter, is starting her own podcast. She's 12 years old.
Really?
She and a friend want to start one on gaming or something. Mm.
Wow.
There you go.
And they have the setup now, too. That's wonderful.
They do.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kids are great, man. George, what's on your mind? What's something you want to plug? You already plugged the coffee, but what else you got?
Well, I plugged the coffee already, and all I can do is plug it again. I don't think you want to hear it. Okay.
Pete's coffee and pilon.
Yeah, this is okay. I'm showing it to the people who are not on the radio only, Pete's Coffee, which is expensive, and Pilon, Cafe Pilon. If you can't find Cafe Pilon, there's another coffee called Cafe Bustelo, which is almost identical to it.
I dig it.
For an Italian slant on the same thing, it's called Medaglia d'Oro, which is an older, more familiar brand. Same company.
Cool. Very cool. Buffalo, last words.
I'd just like to recommend something on today's topic. It's an article that just occurred in Atlantic Magazine, and it's called The Terrifying Warning Lurking in the Earth's Ancient Rock Record. And what it does is it puts into perspective our brief moment in time in terms of the age of the universe.
Very cool. I like it.
Yeah, it's an extremely well-written article. The only thing I would criticize about it is that it probably doesn't pay enough. Well, they don't have bibliographies and references in Atlantic Magazine articles, but he could at least talk about the fact that the Milankovitch cycles are the ones that are responsible for the ice ages and so forth. But it's a very nice description of, the subtitle is Our Climate Models Could Be Missing Something Big. Cool. And it really talks about the future in terms of climate change.
Nice. You can find myself at Let's Chat. You're probably on this YouTube channel already. And feel free to watch any of the other videos I have on Street Epistemology. When COVID is over, I'm looking forward to being out there and talking to people about anything they want to talk about. Larry, what would you like to plug before we end the show?
Well, I found an app this week, discovered it. Somebody else shared it with me, called Radio Garden. Can you imagine the Google Earth type interface where you have like a globe, and anywhere you touch on the globe, you can hear the radio station that is broadcasting from that point. And if you click on like a city and you hear a radio station, you can just click the like next button and it'll switch over to the next radio station from that city. It's just a very awesome app. It's available for your phone or your iPad or your computer. So it's awesome. Anyway. Go ahead.
It's all Pitbull. It's all Pitbull music. You just hit.
It's all types, for sure.
Maybe tonight. Anyway,
my own content is available on digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to click the blog button for radio show archives, atheist songs, many articles on the subject of atheism. My book is called Atheism, What's It All About? And it's available on Amazon. If you have any questions for the show, please send them to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org, and we'll answer them. If you have any trouble, if you're having trouble leaving religious beliefs behind, and of course, after all that programming from the earliest youth, you could have a lot of program or problems psychologically leaving religion behind, I recommend going to recoveringfromreligion.org. If you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe. This has been the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life, and we'll see you next week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.